to my son, I want to apologize for everything I'm going to do over the next 18 or so years, for everything I'll miss, everything I won't understand, all the notes about parent-teacher conferences you won't want to show me, for all the times I'll embarrass you, all the camps and field trips I'll volunteer myself to, all the girlfriends or boyfriends you'll never want to bring home for dinner, for doing my mom was wrong and dad was right dance around other people, for that time when your school invites all the parents to a softball tournament and I take it a bit too seriously, for calling your math teacher a frickin' flathead, for trying to high-five your friends, for buying a minivan, for wearing shorts, for being late the first time you're invited to a real birthday party, for being pissed when there are lines for rides at the amusement park, for calling the assistant in the skateboard shop, man, for not understanding that you would rather do gymnastics than play soccer, for all the times I forget to lock the bathroom door, what is seen can't be unseen, for the holidays, the cowboy hat, the speech at your high school graduation party, for all the times I get a bit drunk and start telling the joke about the two Irishmen in the boat again, I really, really want to apologize for all those things. But when you're the most angry at me, I want you to try to remember that to me, you'll always be the tiny one-year-old boy standing naked in the hallway with a toothless grin and a cuddly lion clutched to your chest. Whenever I'm difficult, whenever I'm embarrassing, unreasonable, unfair, I want you to think back to that day. That day when you refused to tell me where the heck you'd hidden my dang car keys. And I want you to remember that it was you who started it. That's the opening to Frederick Bachman's Things My Son Needs to Know About the World. His prose is sly, but loving. If winks were part of the alphabet, the text of Things My Son Needs to Know About the World would be chock full of eyes blinking. Frederick Bachman is an author who has made a name for himself outside his home country of Sweden, and for good reason. Perhaps you've read one or more of his previous works, A Man Called Ove, Bear Town, several others. If you have, it's worth remembering that in his best-selling fiction, his writing shares quite a few themes and ideas, an in-depth interest in family life, the lives of children, and the experience of kids and adults growing up and exploring the world that is ever-changing around them, all written with a sympathetic yet critical observer's eye. Yes, Bachman can be nostalgic and hopeful in his writing, and most of all with his characters, but he's never saccharine, never too for a reader to enjoy. And so this is a book about the world as we want it to be for the younger folks in our lives. It's optimistic. It's forward-looking. But it is a book about the world as we have come to know it, as adults, full of joy, surprises, and sometimes confusion and even anger. Each chapter takes on one or another aspect of life that the father thinks his son ought to learn through his dad's experiences in life, a kind of roadmap to life from someone who's been out there on that road for a while himself. And so it is that the book features an entire chapter focused on how to navigate IKEA, that furniture store emporium, with page after page of anecdotal humor that delves, as usual, deeper into the human psyche and experience than a simple shopping trip to pick up a bookcase might usually offer. For instance, Bachman muses about what his son ought to do when it's time to get his first apartment and buy that first big piece of furniture. He writes, "Man's first apartment is his own. Though if I were going to give you one tiny bit of advice, it would be to buy your first sofa secondhand. Not from IKEA. Buy one of those big brown leather monstrosities as big as the Death Star. The kind you need a minute to be able to classify with certainty as a sofa rather than a bouncy castle. Where the cushions are so worn that they'll smother the fire themselves when your friend Sock falls asleep with a cigarette in his mouth. The kind you'll spend 80% of your nights on because it's just not worth the effort of going all the way to bed once you've turned off the video games. Let function come before form. Buy the sofa you want, not the sofa you need. Trust me, you'll never get the chance again. Because sooner or later, you'll fall in love. And from then on, every sofa you own will have one big compromise. So live while you're young. Spend as much time on the sofa of your dreams as you can. There's the chapter about stuff. A chapter filled with quintessential observations about parenting in the modern-day Apple-infested world that is as humorous and thoughtful a send-up of modern times as any Charlie Chaplin film could be. Bachman opens the chapter by talking about what happens when you have your first child, how the hospital pretty much just kicks you and your wife out and says, good luck. What happens next? Well, he tells us. You panic and you buy stuff. That's what you do. Ergonomic and organic and pedagogic and anatomically correct stuff. You hear people say, you have to have one of these. And you immediately think, yeah, maybe we do. That does actually sound sensible. Cuddly animals and laser thermometers and teething rings and a potty that looks like Jabba the Hutt and a plastic tortoise that plays Mozart when you poke it in the crotch with a stick. It's like when you watch the Shopping Channel drunk and realize that your life won't be complete until you own a tool for cutting onions into stars. So you will buy all that stuff. And then you buy even more stuff. Telephone stuff and video camera stuff and computer stuff. Just so you can document yourselves using all the original stuff. As though your children were some kind of scientific experiment. I'm not exaggerating when I say that nothing has revolutionized the way my generation interacts with yours more than when the iPhone 4 came out with the camera on the front. So we could actually sit next to one another while I watched you on the display. There was a time before selfies, you know, and it was horrible. Relationships are key in this book. As Bachman talks about relationships between father and son, relationships between spouses, between men and men, between men and women, and most assuredly as well, between generations. And relationships between folks who are just different from you and me. Everyone noted in Things My Son Needs to Know is shown to be heroic in some manner, and flawed as well. And while Bachman is continually embracing the worth of everyone his son is likely to encounter in this world, he's open-eyed enough to note there are differences between them, between men and women, between teenage boys and girls, pronounced as the differences noted between spouses, differences that Bachman celebrates as opportunities to learn more about ourselves, as men, as women. Differences that are not hierarchical or discriminatory, but rather differences that help make us who we are and that help to explain the world as we experience it. For let's remember, Bachman is talking with his son, a creature who is still wide-eyed about the world he is discovering, or so his father hopes, a young fellow whose mind is not yet made up about the rights and the wrongs, the goods, the bads, the useful, the not so much of the world we all inhabit. It's the goal of this book to give some direction, some signposts along the way, to help his son navigate his way through this great discovery period of his life. I ought not to forget to remind you and me that Things My Son Should Know is not meant for Bachman and his son alone. His wife, his son's mother, comes in for gentle ribbing and clear statements of love. Bachman's quite aware that raising their child is a two-person job in this particular family, and he credits his wife with lessons of her own to teach their son. Writing at one point, she's just endlessly better at being a parent than I am. She understands exactly what you mean when you're standing in the hallway shouting and rambling incomprehensibly, like a drunk Ewok. She knows what kind of clothes you should wear when it's cold out. She keeps track of papers from the doctor and makes sure we have vitamins and leans forward and kisses my neck long before I realize how much I need her to do that precisely right then. There are so many fantastic sides of her that you haven't even gotten to know yet, that you aren't old enough to understand. And oh, how you're going to love getting to know her, her nooks and crannies and small secret corners and winding corridors and creaking closet doors, the way she gives every single feeling in her body, the way she loves us, all in. She might scream at us once in a while when we sit on the new sofa without pants or when we leave wet towels on the bathroom floor, when we spill mayonnaise on the carpet and drop ice cream into her handbag. But your mother would stand in front of a pack of wolves for you and me. It's an incomprehensible blessing to get to be her boys. We need to make sure we deserve it every single day. Like other great humorists, Bachman uses layers of humor that will appeal to readers at different stages, different ages in their lives. And like other great humor, there is wisdom running through this wit. And sometimes humor is a great way, an easy-to-absorb way of providing wisdom, isn't it? In the end, Things My Son Needs to Know is in the same class of book, I think, as Robert Fulghum's vastly popular and much, if oddly quoted, All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, a book published in the late 1980s. It's just that kind of gentle humor, laden with wisdom. Though, warning, Bachman's much looser with his language than Fulghum is. Things My Son Needs to Know is just the type of book you can page through randomly, read a while, come away refreshed, upbeat about humanity, and ready to push on with life. It's sweet, it's thoughtful, it's an uplifting read for just about anyone at any age, albeit I'm not so sure if you're the age of Bachman's son. When he wrote the book, evidently his son was 1 year old. I'm not sure that a one-year old would understand much, if anything, in this book. But once you get, you know, a little bit older, certainly once you hit your adolescence, you can begin to understand what he's talking about. And Bachman is not so old that he can't reflect back to being a child himself. Let's finish with these thoughts from the book. He's talking about love here, trying to explain that to his kid. And he kind of wanders in and out of the subject. Here's a particularly poignant part of it, I think. You're probably wondering what all this has to do with love. And I told you already, I don't know all that much about love, but your mother is a vegetarian. And still she chose me. So I guess that might teach you more about this than anything else I can say. Because the reason I don't know much about love is that I've really only ever loved one woman. But every day with her is like being a pirate in a magical faraway land, full of adventures and treasures. Making her laugh is a bit like wearing rain boots that are a little too big and jumping into the deepest of puddles. I'm blunt and sharp and full of black and white. She's all my color. But I don't think I complete her at all. I mostly cause trouble. And maybe that's the point. I don't know. But no one has ever, ever, ever said that we're perfect for one another. I'm a foot taller than she is and weigh more than twice as much. I have no sense of rhythm, and my body balance is like a drunk panda's. Your mother loves nothing in this life as much as she loves dancing. And she chose to share her time on earth with a man she can't dance with without seriously fearing for her safety. She chose me. And then you came along, and you love music. And when you dance, you and she, if I could only choose one single moment to live inside for all eternity, it would be that. I can't tell you anything about love. Nothing more than that. What a great ending to a really fun, humorous, and thoughtful book. Frederick Bachman. Things My Son Needs to Know About the World. It's a great read, regardless of your age, regardless of your relationship with other people. It's just a fun, thoughtful, insightful read. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including, naturally, the West Lafayette Public Library.